the eyes of the world are upon Hong Kong and what is now being dubbed as Umbrella Revolution. And just to put this in context, Hong Kong is formerly part of China after it was seceded back by the United Kingdom in 1997. But there was an agreement that for 50 years, it will be an arrangement of one nation, two systems. That is, while formerly part of China, Hong Kong will be allowed for 50 years to retain its democratic form, free market, and all that has to do with a free society. But in a recent decision from mainland China, a new policy was imposed that any nominee for the position of chief executive of Hong Kong must first have the approval of Beijing, and protests exploded. Well, we hope for peaceful solutions, but as freedom-loving people, certainly our hearts go with the protesters in this instance. But the world will never be without political conflicts, and often spelling war or, more hopefully, reconciliation. In fact, there was a time when religious conflicts, even among professing Christians, broke into wars. And that is a complete violation of Christian principles. There will be conflicts, they are unavoidable, but for Christians, restoration is the way. And the story around the letter of 2 Corinthians is a model of managing a serious conflict. Ang sulat ni Pablo sa ikalawang Korinto ay isang huwaran, paano hawakan, pangasiwaan ang isang seryosong sigalot. It led to restoration. The majority of the church repented and are now, as Paul was writing to them, in the process of restoration. But a minority remains opposed. And we are in that section where Paul is making comparison and contrast between his ministry and that of the super apostles. And here in chapter 4, Paul just answered the anticipated objection of his opponents, why are many in unbelief? Bakit marami pa rin hindi nananampalataya sa mensahe ni Apostol Pablo? And Paul answers that in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4, satanic blinding of unbelievers creates barriers to the light of the gospel. And then verses 5 and 6, Paul defines what his message is. He is proclaiming the powerful message of the gospel. And that requires, on the part of the messenger, decided servanthood. In verse 7, he now describes what is his attitude as far as the message is concerned and himself as messenger. And he compares this like to a treasure, but put in a clay jar. And that's how Paul felt. And then in verses 8 to 12, he spells out in what way he's being clay. A clay jar is expressed. Well, he says he makes pairs of what he concedes he is suffering, but on the other hand, by the grace of God, he is enabled to withstand. Now let us turn to chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. And this will explain now why Paul kept to his message, 2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 15. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Now, verse 13, I believe, therefore I spoke, is a quotation from Psalm 116. And in Psalm 116, the psalmist is expressing his misery because of the many sufferings he was then undergoing. And yet he makes his assertion on this verse that Paul quotes, that he keeps believing despite the suffering. And Paul sees his situation similarly. Confronted with suffering, if he speaks the message, yet he cannot stop. Ang sinasabi ni Pablo, sa kabila ng mga paghihirap niya, ng kapighatian, hindi siya makapagpigil sa pagpatuloy niyang pagsasalita ng mensahe. And I want to draw this message this afternoon. Believing the message compels speaking it despite suffering for it. Ang paniniwala sa mensahe ay naguudyok na ito'y ipahayag kahit pa magdusa para alang-alang dito. Believing the message compels speaking it despite suffering for it. Now remember the charge of the super apostles against Paul's ministry. They were saying the abundance of Paul's sufferings proves him false. Napakarami niyang pinaghihirapan, marami siyang pagdurusa. Tila pinababayaan siya ng Diyos sapagkat mali ang kanyang ministeryo. Yan ang kanilang bintang. Because Paul suffers a lot, he must not be true. He must be false. But on the contrary, Paul is arguing it proves that the message Paul speaks is a compelling truth because he was willing to suffer for it. And two truths connect to our message. First, the gospel message is more compelling than the suffering. Ang mensahe ng Ebanghelyo ay mas lalong nag-uudyok kaysa sa kapighatian. The gospel message is more compelling than the suffering. And secondly, the gospel blessings more than compensate for the suffering. Ang mga pagpapala ng Ebanghelyo ay lalong humihigit sa mga kapighatian. The gospel blessings more than compensate for the suffering. So first of all then, the gospel message is more compelling than the suffering. Now, Paul sees someone at the 16 as an accurate description of his situation. Suffering, even perhaps close to dying. And that's how the psalmist describes his situation. Someone at the 16 verse 3 states, "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffer distress and anguish." And here in our 2 Corinthians text, we see Paul talking of how close he is to death. He is like a convict being brought to the executioner. That's how he described himself. And yet, in Psalm 16, verse 10, the psalmist says, "I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted." What the psalmist really is saying is, "When I spoke, I was afflicted, but I believe still." Now, Paul turns that to something even stronger. Where the psalmist said, "I continue to believe despite my suffering," Paul is saying, "Precisely because I believe, I must speak despite the suffering." In other words, Paul is turning into the issue of the fact that he believes his message. He cannot but speak it. And that's something that continues to be true today. When believed, the message of the gospel just has to be told no matter what. Kung pinaniwalaan mo ang Ebanghelyo, kinakailangan itong ipahayag kahit ano pa ang mangyari. That's what Paul is saying. The super apostles charge that Paul is suffering because he is false and the Lord is forsaking him to suffer. But Paul is explaining that the message is what is causing him to suffer, but he is compelled to speak it anyway. Now, when there is an anticipated suffering, what is our instinctive reaction? Avoid it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. May nakita kang baka mahirapan ka, ang una mong reaction ay kung pwede lang iwasan, iiwasan. Even the Lord Jesus gave that provision, Matthew 10:23, when he was sending his disciples to preach the gospel to Israel, yet he warned that there will be persecution. And what does he say? Matthew 10:23, "When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next." Now that is a provision for avoidance of suffering where necessary. However, one may be prepared to suffer because of a compelling cause. That's what patriots do for the sake of the country when they go through the miseries of war and heroically endure. And that's because they are willing to suffer for their nation. That's what parents do, prepared to bear all burden for the good of their children. So there can be a compelling reason for one to be prepared to suffer. And this is exactly the same situation that Paul finds himself in. Not because of country, not because of children, but because of the message. Because of the message, he is willing to suffer for it. And Paul is simply doing what has been consistently reflected in the New Testament. During the early days of the church in Jerusalem, when Peter and John were arrested by guards for the Sanhedrin, and they were facing the Sanhedrin, and they were being charged no longer to preach. What does Peter say? Listen to Acts 4, 19 and 20. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak despite the charge of the Sanhedrin, the highest governing body in Israel, in Jerusalem. Despite the threat, Peter is saying, I cannot but speak what I have seen and heard. But what was it that Peter and John have seen and heard anyway that they cannot help but speak? Nothing less than the Christ event. They saw the Lord Jesus when he lived a perfect life right before their eyes. They saw the Lord Jesus when he suffered on the cross. And now they saw the Lord Jesus risen from the dead. And when they have been able to sew together the significance of all this event, they realize this is redemption. This is salvation of sinners. Those events that we have witnessed are the only way for sinners to be saved. How dare we stop speaking? So whatever the threat, Peter is saying, we will have to speak. And Paul is the same. In fact, earlier in his first letter to the Corinthians, he already said so. 1 Corinthians 9:16. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. In other words, for Paul, preaching the gospel is not profession. It's not credential that one can boast of. Preaching the gospel to him is a must. And to him it is woe if he does not preach the gospel. Now this is the proof of the truth of the message of Paul. What the super apostles were charging because he was suffering, he must be false. Paul is saying the reason why I'm suffering is because the message is so compelling. No matter what the suffering, I'm willing to go through it. And that's an added weight to the argument of Paul that he was prepared to suffer for something which he knew to be true. Well, we know the news for several weeks now. Lifestyle Check is hounding two officials of the land, the vice president and the chief PNP. Now, they have the right to defend themselves, but it is difficult to defend integrity while surrounded by unexplained wealth. Diba? Titingnan mo ba yung integridad ng isang tao kasi napapalibutan siya ng yamang hindi maipaliwanag. Ang argumento ni Pablo, napapalibutan siya ng kapighatian, ngunit patuloy pa rin siya sapagkat naniniwala siya sa katotohanan ng kanyang mensahe. Now, the challenge to us is grow in your odd belief in the truth of the gospel message. Lumago tayo sa namamanghang paniniwala sa katotohanan ng mensahe ng Ebanghelyo. Sometimes I hear preachers say of a gospel doctrine, I cannot preach that. And what they really mean is the hearers don't want that. And they don't want to be unpopular. Benjamin Warfield, one of the instructors of Princeton Seminary, was giving a chapel devotion to his students. And he used this very text, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And it came to a point where he was responding to this thought, I cannot preach that. And Warfield said, cannot be preached. Cannot be preached. Believe it, and it will preach itself. That's how compelling the message is when once you believe it. In other words, the problem of tongue-tied silence on the gospel issue is at the bottom line a problem of believing. Ang pananahimik sa mga usapin ng Ebanghelyo
ay problema ng paniniwala. Kapag pinaniwalaan, hindi maaring hindi ipahayag. So the question is, do you still believe the gospel? The facts concerning Jesus, are they still facts to you? That He actually lived on earth in space and time. That He actually died a substitute's death on the cross. That He actually died and was buried. And that He actually rose from the dead, a living person, and ascended to His Father. These are saving events. And my friend, do you know something of the impact of those events upon your life? Or do you hear about them and you know that these are Christian beliefs, but they hardly touch you tangibly on your life? We'll bow down before Jesus. Do we still believe? That's the question. Because if they are true, do you see the radical implications? The message must be told. Sinners must hear. Without that message, that person you admire, perhaps your parent, child, brother, sibling, without the gospel message, however decent and moral he may be, he is lost and under wrath. This is compelling. This is more compelling than stocks gain or loss in Wall Street or Makati Exchange. This is a cause worth our sacrificing, worth our giving, more than the money people spend on amusement and sports. And I describe the believing as something odd. O means amazement, wonder. Do we still have that? Beware lest your gospel belief is reduced to a badge, an ID you present to prove that you're evangelical. There must be that awe. When we take the Lord's Supper tonight, brethren, take it with a faith lit in wonder and awe at the glorious truths surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in it. You heard of Benjamin Kitch this morning in my message and Sunday school. And I want to tell something about his son. His son Elias Kitch, rebelled. And from England, at age 19, he sailed to America. And there in America, he wore a minister's garb in order to advance more his position. And talk immediately circulated around town. The son of the great Benjamin Kitch is in town. So what they did was to invite him to preach. I mean, they simply made the assumption like father, like son, and Benjamin Kitch was a great preacher. So Elias Kitch must be able to preach. And so he did preach. He probably preached what he has heard from his father all these years, probably copied an outline. But in the middle of his preaching, he was gripped with conviction because he realized how hypocritical he was in what he was doing. He stopped. The people thought he was ill, and then he confessed his sin. But then a few days later, an elderly minister counseled him, and he found the Lord Jesus, and he became one of the powerful preachers of America during that period. The power of the word. Even a hypocrite can be seized with conviction from his own tongue. That's the message that is compelling for us to speak, more compelling than suffering. But then there's a second point that Paul is saying. The gospel blessings more than compensate for the suffering. Ang mga pagpapala ng ebanghelyo ay mas lalong humihigit sa mga kapighatian. And verses 14 and 15 of our text are Paul's consolation to his suffering. The blessings far outweigh the sufferings now. And what are those blessings Paul was speaking about. The truth of the message is certain of expansion and consummation. He's speaking of those two things, expansion now, consummation in the end, all to the exaltation of God. How does Paul speak of expansion? Well, listen to him. It is all for your sake, he says, so that as grace extends to more and more people. So even as Paul was suffering, there was a satisfaction on his heart as he saw the gospel of grace extending to more and more people. And certainly the Corinthians were among those to whom grace was extended through what Paul was speaking. And Paul is certain that beyond Corinth, the gospel, as it is proclaimed, will extend to more and more. Paul uses here a comparative adjective. As the gospel is preached, there are more recipients of grace. This is also an encouragement to us today. Despite difficulties, we see the fruit of the gospel, and that is satisfaction to us. But he does not simply speak of expansion. He was taken up with its consummation. Ang kaustuhan ng lahat. He said, he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. He is thinking of the final resurrection. And then all recipients of grace are together in the presence of Jesus. Our message is not about happiness and abundance now, and don't worry about the future. The Christian hope is secure. It rests on a gospel fact. Jesus rose from the dead. And someday, Paul says, we too will be raised from the dead together. The final state is with Jesus. And Paul adds, and us with you into his presence. Glorious reunion that would be inseparable for all the saints. And what is all this for? Well, he tells us, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. The two primary duties of man: glory, glorifying God, thanking God. Remember the list of sins Paul makes in Romans 1? Remember the first two? They did not glorify God, neither were they thankful. For those two sins alone, sinfulness is universal to all mankind. No matter how moral or decent, for those two sins, we are worth being condemned. And now, the effect of the gospel is that thanksgiving may be done to God to the glory of God. The super apostles are so occupied with their self-honor and credentials, they have forgotten to be taken up with God's glory. Paul, on the other hand, is taken up with God's honor. He knows the message that will secure that honor. That's his message, and he will suffer for it. These are blessings that more than compensate whatever suffering the servant must go through. So let us be occupied with the expansion of the message now. We want to see more and more. Let us rejoice for every fruit that adds to the more and more. And how I wish any one of you here not yet in that more and more, let it be tonight that you will be a part of the more and more by coming to Christ. Let us not forget that ultimately our consummate future is to be together in resurrection life. That is the plan of God. It will happen. I'm reading now Tim Geithner, the former Treasury Secretary in the first term of U.S. President Obama, his book of a memoir concerning his stint as Treasury Secretary at a time of financial crisis. It's called Stress Test. But one chapter called my attention. It is entitled, Plan Beats No Plan. In other words, when you are in dealing with the economy, you must have a plan. And no matter that that plan meets crisis after crisis, it's still better than no plan. And what I'm telling you is God's plan beats all plans. God's plan beats the plan of any economist, any military, any politician. And that is the plan to which we attach in believing the gospel. So the plan of God and the blessings that flow from that plan more than compensate for all the suffering that we have to go through. But one challenge of this to us, be expressive of your thanksgiving and praise to God. Thanksgiving for the greater blessings. Praise to God for His glory and greatness. Remember the two categories of attributes that we studied in our Sunday school some time ago? Attributes of glory that should yield praise. Attributes of goodness that should yield thanksgiving. Those are the two responses God seeks most. To be thankful. To be praising Him. And that is a test of maturity. What is maturity? Here is a good description by Paul in Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Is the mature solid in doctrine? Yes. But that does not define maturity. When you are familiar with the teachings of Scripture, it must yield abounding thanksgiving. So are you abounding in thanksgiving? Let your gratitude be steered more by the greater blessings defined by the gospel more than the temporal and material. And this must have been the irony of Paul that the super apostles could not explain. He was suffering, yet he was thankful. And this, again, comes from Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, despite the sufferings of the psalmist, yet he could say in verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? What benefit? He tells us, verse 13, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. He was surrounded by waves of suffering beating upon him, and yet he holds a cup, and he sees in his cup salvation. For all the sufferings, his heart was thankful for that salvation blessing. Can you make that thankful response because of salvation that more than compensates for all the sufferings we go through? And then he adds in Psalm 116:14, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. You see, thankful people will stand out amidst a multitude of complaining grumblers in any community. A God-praising believer will be a puzzle to observers who may see how he suffers and yet worships God. And it all comes back to the message that we have been made to know and grace extended to us. And now that the message is being entrusted to us, resolve with Paul, I believe, therefore I will speak it. Horatius Bonar was a Scottish preacher in the 19th century, but he also was a hymnist, and a good number of his hymns pertains to the ministry of the Word. And my favorite is what we will sing as our last hymn, and let us indeed make it a resolve that when we do engage in the ministry of evangelism or the ministry that pertains to promoting the Word, let this be our resolve. I believe it. Therefore, I will speak it. So go, labor on, spend, and be spent. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, lubos kaming nagpapasalamat nga na makita ang huwaran ni Pablo bilang mangangaral ng ebanghelyo sa gitna ng mga bintang sa kanya nang dahil sa kanyang mga paghihirap at kapighatian ay ipinakita niyang dahil sa katotohanan ng mensahe na kanyang pinaniwalaan ay handa siyang patuloy na mangusap, magpahayag ng mensahe kahit pa siya ay dumanas ng mga kapighatian. And may this be the same spirit that we exhibit in our own church, in our own ministries, that because we believe it, therefore we speak it. And in believing and speaking it, grant to Lord that truly the gospel message we will find more compelling than the suffering that is the result of it. And grant, Father, that we may feel the power of that message in our own lives and souls so that we may be prepared to undertake all the sufferings that may be necessary, but we will still find the message even more compelling. We pray for those who have yet to experience an impact of the compelling truth of the message that Jesus died a substitute's death and he rose to be king, intercessor, mediator. And we pray that someone here who may yet know what it is to be a follower of Jesus may be added to those whom Paul describes as more and more. We pray that we may find the gospel blessings attached to the message more than compensate for the suffering. And we pray that we may truly make the truth of the message be certain of its expansion and ultimate consummation because of the Lord Jesus. And help us that it may challenge us to be more expressive with sincerity of our thanksgiving for the greater blessings and praise for your glory. May you challenge us to stand out in a community where most are grumbling. May we stand out where we are God-praising men and women that people observe despite what we suffer. And may we indeed make it our principled commitment, as Paul did. We believe it, therefore we will speak it to the glory of our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.